We're going to interrupt our regularly scheduled program over at KRHV. Why? Well, because we've got a guest here for our ACE program and an esteemed guest, that's for sure. The esteemed executive director of Friends of the Inyo, Wendy Schneider, is with us on the line. And she goes by the goddess of the Inyo. Is that correct, Wendy?
Well, wow, that just sounds a little pretentious, you know.
It sure
sounds
does.
Nice, but a little pretentious.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You got to play big sometimes.
Well, that's true. You know? I am trying to do a big job.
No, you are. And you're very important. And we really do appreciate and respect what you guys are doing over there at Friends of the Inyo. But how's the holiday season been going for you? All is well?
Yeah, all is well. I'm actually coming to you from East Tennessee. I'm with my family right now. This is the area that I'm from, and we're all getting over COVID, but we are excited that we're getting over it and excited about Christmas.
Right, Tennessee. Nice. Now, what brought you to California?
You know, I came to California, well, I haven't told this story in a long time, way back in, I believe, 1990, to run what we called the TOP, the Telephone Outreach Project, for a group called CalPERG at the time. It's now called Environment California, and I am still a regular donor to them. So I came out to run a telephone outreach project office, mm-hmm. A fundraising office, basically, in West LA at the intersection of Pico and Robertson. And on my way from Tennessee to Los Angeles, my car was, or after I arrived and went inside and met my director, my boss, and talked to her for a couple of hours. During that time, my car was stolen, and everything I owned was in it. And the police called me at like 3 o'clock in the morning that they found the car, but it was completely empty. So I got a very fresh start in Los Angeles.
Wow. And you stayed.
I did. Yeah, many people said, maybe you should just go home. I'm like, nope, I loved it there. Like, I loved being out west. I loved Los Angeles right away. So, and I had a great time running my project, and I was very young, and my boss was in Boston, but I had the second highest grossing project in the United States, and there are dozens of them. I just feel like my passion for this kind of work just, you know, came through, even though I didn't have a lot of experience or skills.
Sure. And,
I just really enjoy this work.
All right, that's awesome. So what is your, executive director, you know, you're overseeing everything, but what is your, your expertise?
You know, I would say if I'm good at anything, it is hiring and inspiring the right people. So in this kind of position, there can be a temptation to kind of try to do everything yourself, and you can't. And, you know, and then things just like, you know, you just can't have the same breadth of initiatives. So I really strive to hire really talented, passionate people and support them. Like when I check in with my staff, the first thing I say is, do you have everything you need? How are you doing? And, you know, support them in every way. And I have a great staff, and they are the reason that we are so effective.
Wow. You sound like an amazing person to work for. That's great. Seriously, I mean, what's my primary goal? To hire the cool people and then inspire them. You know, it's amazing. Congratulations.
Right.
You know, and you do have a great team. I like actually all of them. It's good. As if I didn't like people, but no, all good. But we Lou being one of those. Lou Medina is awesome. He's your communications director over there, and he came in last a few weeks ago, and we talked about the Giving Tuesday and the year end giving campaign. How's that been going?
Oh, the year-end giving campaign is going great. And yeah, Lewis is amazing. And he has done so much for the organization. He has such a tremendous amount of expertise and passion, and is really good at fundraising. So for our end-of-year campaign, we're at about 50% of our goal. And we're excited with that. That is on track, you know, if we look at performance over past years, to get to 100% of our goal. And that will help us to keep doing our amazing work.
Okay, very good. And you guys are still in that matching scenario, right? You had like $45,500 that you guys are going to match, right?
Correct.
So if we donate. Go ahead.
Yeah, we can still, like, the match is still available. Like, that match has not been exhausted yet.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So that's like 45 grand. That's awesome. So for those who are listening right now, if you're inspired to give to the Friends of the Inyo and any of the information that we're about to talk about, you can go to friendsoftheinyo.org. All right, so we're year end now. You guys are planning for... I guess before we do that, what is new with the Friends of the Inyo before we get into what's going to happen next year?
Yeah, well, I would say that one of our most exciting developments for 2023 is we secured funding for a new staff position, a water justice organizer. And this person will work with us and other groups in right now at this time focused in the Owens Valley and focused on a couple of different initiatives. The big purpose behind them is to get more water, less water extracted, more water left in the Owens Valley, to kind of sum it up. And there are a number of different ways that we're going to go about this, but we're extremely excited about this development. We're working strongly with the indigenous community in the Owens Valley. They're very excited, you know, about having a person, full-time, a compensated person devoted to this pursuit, which is something that's been missing in the Owens Valley for 30 years.
Oh, beautiful. And it's called, and the title is Water Justice Organizer?
Correct.
Is that the title? Okay, cool. And what would be some of the things that I would need to know to get this gig? I mean, is it a specialized?
Well, I have closed the application period, actually. I closed it on December 1.
Okay.
So I have a couple dozen applicants.
Oh, wow,
and
good.
We are, me and others, you know, in our group, our coalition, are working on, the hiring process. And we hope to make an offer in January.
Okay, beautiful. Anything else as far as the things that are new?
Well, one fun new kind of smaller fact is we added the first hybrid vehicle to our fleet this year through the generous donation of one of our board members, Chris Lietza. We now have our first hybrid vehicle on deck to help us with our stewardship and our policy initiative.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, Friends of the Inyo taking care of the land, having hybrid vehicles, great. And kudos to your sponsor for that. That's awesome. So if you've got a hybrid that you'd like to donate to the Friends of the Inyo, I'm sure you guys are looking for others. We've got to throw that out
we
there.
Are,
right,
we are. We have a lot of old trucks, and they're not very fuel efficient, but we really don't have the money to just wholesale replace our fleet, you know. And they've got to be pretty hardy vehicles for the kind of work that we do.
Sure. One at a time, that's for sure. All right, so what's on the list for 2024? What do you guys got cooking?
Yeah, we've got some great ambitious plans for 2024. So on the policy side, like, we kind of work in two ways, you know, our policy work and our stewardship work, and they work well together. We want to continue our winning streak on protecting the land from inappropriate extraction projects in sensitive areas, like our 2023 victory in Hot Creek this year. The area where these folks wanted to drill is just a really important habitat for the bi-state sage grouse, and these birds are really having a rough time out there. And we don't want people to believe that we are opposed to all extraction everywhere. We are not, but it should not happen in some places, and this is one of them. So we are, you know, going to continue with our efforts to protect Hot Creek and other areas like it that are sensitive for habitat reasons and also important to the indigenous community. And we are also going to be working on permanent protections for all of these areas, so we don't have to keep, like, hamsters on a wheel kind of fighting projects that come up over and over and over again.
Right. So when you say winning, right, now we've extended or postponed the time frame before they can begin. What does that mean by winning?
Yeah, well, yeah, and we sometimes we call things wins that certainly aren't a permanent fix, and this is one of those.
Yeah.
So what happened was the project that was approved for a number of, like, technical legal reasons and ecosystem reasons was unapproved, essentially, by the court. So we won in the sense that that project cannot go forward. Now, this mining company can come back and with another try. You know what I mean? That proposes, you know, a more appropriate environmental assessment and makes other changes that could potentially bring it into compliance with the court's order. So far, they have not done that.
Okay.
So we're happy about that development.
Yeah. And winning is a good word. I mean, you know, I mean, we're trying to make everything work here, but sometimes you just got to say, you know what, this is one that was really important to us, and we're proud of it. And know, it is a beautiful, sacred area, and we're glad that you guys did the work that you did for Hot Creek this year. Awesomeness. All right, so how about the stewardship plans for 2024? You mentioned that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are, you know, in recent years, especially in response to severe weather events, you know, and the usual impacts from the heavy visitation our area yeah. gets, our stewardship crew is out there to provide critical help to the Forest Service, to Mono County, to the town of Monmouth Lakes, you know, on trails and recreation spots. And we will continue to do that in 2024. You know, our fundraising goals include being able to increase our trail ambassador crew by one, which would be very welcome by the Forest Service. You know, and the other agencies, our crew, you know, gets out there and they not only like pick up trash and talk to people, you know, about how they can take better care of the land and the places they can go, but they also do things like, you know, care for the trails, get the wandering rocks and logs off of them and the bushes and brambles that have grown into them. And so we're fundraising aggressively to be able to add a crew member there. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that's going to be new for 2024. Good. And we also would like to kind of increase the size of our youth program. We engage youth, both local and visiting youth, throughout the year. Like we do snow school in March. We do programs with the Lone Pine schools around our bird festival in April. And then we have both visiting and local youth that we take out, both to just go camping and also to do stewardship projects over the summer. And we think it's really important for inspiring the future protection of healthy ecosystems to get youth out there. And we would like to, you know, if our fundraising permits it, be able to expand these youth-focused programs.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, and it is important. I mean, knowledge is power. And if you can instill, you know, I don't know, good sensibilities about how to take care of things, you know, maybe sensibilities is the wrong word, but just an awareness of how to do things, then moving forward, the evolution will naturally take its place and will be in that mindset of taking care of a healthy ecosystem, you know?
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. We feel like, you know, when kids discover how magical ecosystems are, you know, how they work together, like all on their own, if we don't do too much to disturb them, we think that that naturally inspires them to want to protect them like we do.
Absolutely. All right, very good. And the stewardship, you mentioned the trail ambassadors. Are you going to be posting that position sometime in the early next year, or when can we look for that?
Yeah, we usually fly the trail ambassador positions in February. And they start their training in April, and they work, you know, like we work with them with respect to our program, but they also get to work with the Forest Service and get trainings, you know, that can be used to do other jobs. You know what I mean? They go out with the Forest Service, learn how to use crosscut saw and all that kind of stuff.
Awesomeness. Yeah, such a good program over there. You guys are doing such good things. I can't say enough. And I know we've interviewed before, and everyone's kind of known you guys as the characters, you know, over at Friends of the Inyo. And I mean characters in a loving sense, not as like, oh my, there's characters over there. Of course you are unique personalities, don't get me wrong. Special in that way, but we're glad for who you are. So that's great. So yeah, we've got, we're going to continue to protect the land, and then obviously have the stewardship program in combination. Of course, if you're listening to this and you'd like any of this information, it's all on their website. That's very user-friendly, friendsoftheinyo.org. Have you guys, I know that it gets really popular for the Owens Bird Festival. Have you guys opened that up for tickets yet?
No, we have not opened up ticket sales yet, but we usually do right at the end of January. And usually we open up the ticket sales and the signups for members about a week before everybody else. So if you become a member, which is only $35, you will have a priority, you know, in getting the outings that you want over the festival.
Yeah, that's important because you guys sell out. You know, it's really popular and
yeah.
It's certainly something you don't want to miss. Friendsoftheinyo.org. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuned in right now, we've got Wendy Schneider, the executive director and or goddess of the Inyo. I'm just going to do that for fun, Wendy. I know
it's like, thanks, John,
it's one of those things, you know, you know once you go down that territory, you can't let go. At least I can't. all right. So, you know, we talked about also the fundraising is still going well. You guys are over 50% of the goal. And of course, we'd love to continue to match up to that $45,000. So if you're listening right now and you're inspired to help Wendy and her team over at Friends of the Inyo, just go to the website and take it from there. But they're matching up to $45,500. That's a great amount, and we can certainly do a lot of great things. All right. So you are in Tennessee. What part of Tennessee are you in? Is it Oak Ridge? Is that what you mentioned?
Yeah, I'm in East Tennessee. I grew up in a town called Oak Ridge, which you may have heard of because it was part of the Manhattan Project.
And do you guys have like a different kinds of Christmas traditions there? Anything off the beaten path, or is it, you know, kind of the same? You have to put the lights up, get the tree, the whole nine. Is there anything different that you guys do?
Yeah, you know, well, we are going to do one thing that we do sometimes, and we are going to do again this year, is we do a bonfire down at the shore of the lake, which is hard to do in Inyo or Mono County since you can't really light fires for obvious reasons.
Yeah, that's something
we can get away with here.
Yeah. Now, will that just be your family, or is that the town?
This is just our family. It's okay. A family tradition for whoever is around. We'll go down and have a bonfire on the beach on the edge of the lake.
Oh, that sounds nice. Okay, so what's the address? Yeah. What's the address? No, I'm just kidding. For those listening in Tennessee, they're gonna be raiding your party. And, oh my God, that's fun. Well, that's great, Wendy. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Is there something that I have not asked you that you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I don't think so with respect to like our programs and our work. But I guess I would like to point out that everybody could consider giving a gift membership to Friends of the Inyo for the holidays. Like I said, it's only $35. Makes a great gift. Always the right color, always the right size.
I love it. You're awesome. Okay, Wendy, I always ask our guests to choose a song to end our segment. Have you chosen a song for us today?
Yes, I have chosen Something to Believe In by Young the Giant.
It's self-explanatory, right, just in the title?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, so we're now going to throw your son under the bus a little bit, because this was not your first choice, was it?
No. So I had chosen a song called Sheep by Mountjoy, which is a song that I like a lot. But one of my children said that it was too, quote, hippy-dippy, and also just, you know, didn't send a positive, upbeat message. So
Okay. We
listened to some songs together, my son and me, and we chose this one as he felt like it would be a better choice.
Wow. He might have my job before you know it. It's awesome. No, we appreciate that. And, you know, it's nice. He's a teenager, right?
Yeah, well, he's 19. So,
19, yeah. On the cusp.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's great that you have a good relationship with them. All right, my friend, have a great holiday season. We do appreciate you and all over at Friends of the Inyo. We will leave you now with a great song from Wendy, with Young the Giant, with Something to Believe In. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks so much, John. Happy holidays.
You're a slave to your
Yeah, Something to Believe In, Young the Giant, courtesy of Wendy Schneider, the executive director from Friends of the Inyo. For all the information about what we talked about with Wendy, again, friendsoftheinyo.org.